Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today from Podcast One's Darkness Radio, Dave Schrader. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a Father's Day round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, still excited from his annual Father's Day motorcycle trip over the Angeles Crest Highway with his dad, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get in. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We rely on word of mouth. We don't advertise. We rely on you sharing it. We love it when we talk to, at the Irvine show, we had a son that brought his 65-year-old dad, first time he'd ever even heard of us, out to the show. So thank you.
And a guy in his mid-50s brought his 12-year-old daughter. Huge Prager fan.
Love that.
Yeah.
Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Paul Bryan is not here today because he's pretty much in the Bay Area every single weekend, and we're starting earlier today because I'm playing a Father's Day softball game
with your dad,
Jimmy Kimmel's dad. Dave Schrader is here, Beyond the Darkness, name of his podcast, also has a true crime podcast as well, and we'll talk about both those things. Good to talk to you, Dave.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, the sort of bittersweet of Father's Day is I spend Father's Day with Jimmy Kimmel's dad, who I love. We used to go to Santa Anita and Hollywood Park and do a race Father's Day horse racing day. That was fun. And then that turned into a UCLA softball game. But my dad has no idea about any of it. And I don't think I should tell him.
Well, yeah. And Dave, just to make it clear, Adam's father is with us. He's right. Among the living.
Yes.
Yeah, it got awkward there for a few seconds.
Yeah. he's not only with us, he's 7 miles from my house.
He's which is actually the crazy, almost here.
The crazy part. But so I won't talk to him, but I will. It doesn't matter to him. I'll see him later in the week or in the month or in life or something. My family is so goddamn weird with that stuff. But anyway.
Well, you did make an interesting point on the morning show when you called in last week and said, why are we celebrating the fact that, your father didn't pull out?
That's really, I'm so horrible. I just try to take some of this. I try not to let any of this poison and vitriol bleed into my own family, where my daughter was singing her happy Father's Day song and dance to me this morning. So that is your goal in life, everybody. Do not stop with the, his dad was pretty strict, so he's kind of, or his dad, Dr. Drew, his dad is a product of the Depression, so he's got to, you don't have to be a weirdo.
Nope.
Or you don't have to be anything just because your parents were, fill in the blank, abusive, alcoholic, what have you.
Break the cycle.
So we're talking a little paranormal activity with the, Dave, I always say to people, I've never experienced anything in my life, but it's because I'm from North Hollywood and nothing ever happened there. There's no one I've ever spoke to. It doesn't even come up. But if you talk to people who are like from New Orleans,
right,
they'll tell you stories.
From now, Salem.
I don't know if it's a cultural thing or it's just that there's activity in New Orleans and there's zero in North Hollywood? Yeah. I know. You tell me. Is it a regional thing? Is it the human beings?
I think it's more the human element.
And well, to be fair, there's no activity in general in North Hollywood.
Right.
There's that.
Figure out paranormal.
You know, I'm a little surprised, Adam, with as much a slacker as you are and never seem to be working or doing anything with your time, that you wouldn't notice paranormal activity. Maybe you're just a little too busy with all the stuff you do that a ghost could walk by you wouldn't notice because you're in the middle of doing one of your 900 podcasts or TV.
It's one of these things that I would like. I sort of look at it as... when Dennis Prager would ask me, do you hope there's a heaven? I go, absolutely, I hope there's a heaven. Do you hope there's life after death or whatever it is we're talking about? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm sort of that way with aliens, too. Like, right. I'm down with all of it. I'm not a denier. I would actually sort of welcome it. I've just never seen it.
Right. So you're open to the idea. You're just you're just not an experiencer at this point. Although, you know, I bet you've been touched by aspects of the paranormal in your life, and especially where you are in your life. Whether you call it intuition or whatever, you get these gut feelings and you know what to do, when to do. And a lot of that is kind of outside of our normal sensors, right? And we're able to
take these voices that other people would ignore. It's interesting because I don't want to crap on your point.
No, please
do. I may just urinate on it.
Sure, that's
okay. No, I do. One. I have a lot of events mm-hmm. where I sort of say, this person, I know what this person does for a living. Mm-hmm. I think it was, I don't know, Gary, was it on our show or was it on Drew's? I said this guy was talking to this woman, and I said, is your husband an engineer? And she said, yeah, he's an engineer. I think that was on me and Drew's show.
I believe that's correct.
And I call out people stuff that I notice all the time, but I believe it's from tuning in and hearing so many people for so long and understanding. I can hear in their voice. Mm-hmm. I can hear angry. I can hear hurt. I can hear molested. And I can hear victimized.
Right.
I can the husband who's an engineer. I know who this guy is. There's just little traits, little ticks, little things. I used to be able to tell when we did Loveline.
So you're more Sherlock Holmes than James Von Prague. You're looking at the tells on everybody, right?
James Von Prague, who I've announced as the gay Larry Zonka, is my absolutely favorite comparison. And nobody knows who Larry. Many people don't know who Larry Zonka is. He's a Hall of Fame running back for the unbeaten Miami Dolphins. But if I don't know if James Von Prague is gay. I'm just saying if Larry Zonka was gay. He would look like James Von Prague. But I think people get a little confused. I'm never saying someone is gay. I'm just saying if that guy was gay, that's what he would look like.
Makes sense.
I take all the little bits and pieces. Right. I do not sort them out mm-hmm. in any order. I just have feelings. And at some point, something hits me, which is here's a feeling. And then I spit it out.
Right.
And I'm right a lot of the time. And it feels like paranormal something, but it's really just a million different pieces of information that are coming in that are getting processed through a guy who wears headphones and listens to people talk all day, every day. So I don't know what you call that.
Well, that's what I said. You're more Sherlock Holmes than you are James Von Prague. You're picking up details of information that other people might miss. And that's a great point because I'm a believer, but I'm a skeptical believer in the paranormal.
There's a visual aid on the screen.
Yes.
All right. If that – come on, Dawson. No.
100%.
Also kind of Dick Butkus-y.
You got a little Dick Butkus in there too. But yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
No problem. So, you know, I'm a skeptical believer. I've had experiences I can't explain away as normal, but it doesn't mean I believe everybody's story as well. So I can see your point, and being a student of humanity and talking to all the people you do, you will pick that up. And a lot of people that are psychic or intuitive that believe that they have some kind of supernatural gift may just have what you have, this uncanny ability to really kind of read because they've seen this thread before.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot to that.
You know, there's so many things that are such crazy tells. Mm-hmm. And for one of the very simplest ones are the three groups of people. When you go, how you doing? You have great. That's a positive person. That you don't need any other answer. You don't need to talk more to that person about what kind of day they're having or how they're enjoying their life or their family. I think there is a group and it's probably about the same. There's, you know, 70% of us just say, I'm doing good. I'm okay. I'm good. There 15% are doing great. And then there's the bottom, which is, I'm okay.
Right.
Then I know who that person is. Right. We need not have any further discussion for me to know I don't want to hang out with you.
Right.
And I don't want to get into why you're just okay, because we're going to start hearing about the Epstein-Barr virus and the sciatica and the chronic fatigue syndrome and the victim of the molestation many years ago, but not still working through it. I can't hang. I don't want to hang with that person.
Right.
As a matter of fact, everybody just get in the habit of saying, I'm great. Somebody asks how you're doing. You will then feel like,
right.
Oh,
fake it till you make it. You push yourself into that.
You've just announced you're great.
Yeah. Right? My dad's response every time someone says, how are you? He says, always great.
See, and that's what I think a big part of the paranormal is in an experience. You're putting out the intent. To you, you're open to it, but you're not really looking for it.
Right.
Some people will go to a location. You know, I get to travel all over the United States and around the world to go to haunted locations. And people are like, are you ever afraid? I'm like, no. It's like, are you ever stupefied that you see animals at the zoo? You went there to see animals at the zoo. I'm going to a reportedly haunted location to try to have an experience. So I'm not afraid of it. Doesn't mean I'm not shocked and awed sometimes, but I'm not fearful of it.
Has there ever been a story that's somewhat relevant or documented where somebody was caused harm by one of these creatures of the night?
With the spirit world, right. There have been, but again, I think some of it's subjective. When you see three scratches on somebody, well, who made the rule that demons have three fingers and they're going to just gouge you with three? And I try to talk through a lot of the education of this to people too. I go, do me a favor. So you woke up with three scratches on your chest. Just put your hand on your arm and scratch it. Oh, what'd you just find out? Your pinky really doesn't do much. Your thumb isn't really scratching. You're only going to get three scratches from your finger.
Right.
So let's, you know, if it's a demon, it's going to vivisect you. It's not going to just give you three cute little scratches on your arm.
Little kitty scratches.
No, it's not going to. You're going to know if you're dealing with demonic forces. You're going to know. And there are cases where people have been pushed. Doris Beither here in California, the entity case.
Uh-huh.
And the San Pedro case. These are two cases that are really well documented, filmed. They've had studies from UCLA that were involved in some of these cases. Doris Beither was brutally and violently raped by these spirits.
Is that the movie?
Yeah, Barbara Hershey starred in the movie.
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called The Entity.
The Entity. Okay.
Yeah. And it's and we've spoken to the doctor, Dr. Barry Taff, who is investigating this case. And it's alarming what took place.
Adam, I think you might remember, I did a show with Susan Pinsky for a long time called Calling Out, which I think she still does, you know, Dr. Drew's wife. And we were always meeting psychics and mediums and all this stuff. And one thing that a lot of them said that you never really hear about, and I'm sure there's a reason for that a lot of them work with the police, but the police don't necessarily want that out there. So do you know anything about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, they had a whole TV series based on a real person, Alison Dubois from the TV series Medium. She's a real-life person who has helped aid the police. There have been many mediums that the police have talked about this. They get a tip or a hint that sends them down that route. They have to be cautious. It's not even necessarily that they have to say, well, we're embarrassed by this. But the fact is, if I'm going to put you in jail because Adam Carolla had a nightmare about you that told him that you murdered this person –
not enough.
That's right. I need more. But if that opens up the dialogue for me and Adam tells me a certain specific part of the stream that makes sense, first of all, Adam becomes a suspect. He does because, oh, that's interesting, Adam. So tell me about Gina, but they're going to keep you on it as well. They're going to keep both. And mediums have been brought in and arrested and investigated because they knew too much about the case.
Yeah, if you know details that weren't in the newspaper, then that definitely makes you a suspect. Who is around today, or is there a Michael Jordan of mediums?
James Von Prague pretty much is the top of the heap of celebrity recognition. You've got John Edwards that did it with Sci-Fi Channel, you know, for many years. He had a show.
James Von Zonka.
Yeah. Chip Coffey, who's hilarious, and there is truly a gay medium who is just fully out but an amazing human and he just is really talented at what he does, both sexually and psychically. I've been told but he's very good. There's
who
there's a
was
lot of
the sweet spirit
oh um
He can't be with us anymore, is he?
Oh, this is going to drive me insane. Thank you, sweet spirit. It's, hold on.
Yeah.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Oh, are we, was he the one on the Queen Mary?
Yes.
Yes, and now, and I've had him on my show and my mind is completely blank
on him. I'm trying to think of him, too.
Right, he was a great guy, but there's a fascinating story. He used to communicate with this ghost on the Queen Mary, the little girl Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
And there's recordings of him standing there, and he'll call out, and you'll hear this little voice call back or start singing "London Bridge is Falling Down." It's been documented by TV crews, and I know everything we see on TV is real, Adam. So you trust it,
Kenny Kingston?
Oh, well, that's a different guy than I was thinking of.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
I thought Kenny Kingston was the Queen Mary guy.
He might have been at some point, but the original guy, and I'm horrified that I can't remember his name right now. I feel bad because he was a legend out there. But he was the guy that really made this first connection. And then you start doing research and you find out that the ghost of Jackie never appeared until Disney owned the ship. And when they were doing some refurbishing by the first class pool, one of the workers noticed what looked like a small wet footprint by the dry pool.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly from that genesis, from that nugget, this ghost was born and the story was born. And that's where you start to shake your head and you go, what is this? But yet they've caught video, photographs, and audio, and people have seen her, witnessed her. Who stepped in? There's no records of a little girl dying on the Queen Mary. There's no records of any of this, but it exists.
Peter
James, that was his name.
We have a true crime podcast to talk about as well. Because,
right.
I know you had sort of have an interest in this world too, because you had an ex-girlfriend that was brutally murdered.
Yes.
All right, let's sit on that for one second, and I'll tell you about Alone. Ah. Fourth season with a crazy new twist. Rules have changed. 10 survivalists are still dropped into an unforgiving wilderness, but now 5 are competing. They're teams. They've paired up, so they have 5 teams. Brothers, fathers, sons, married couple. A different kind of survival show. Beside their teammates, they are truly alone. No camera crews. They film themselves. No gimmicks. No forced challenges. Teams are split, equipped with 5 items each. To win, they must find each other and survive the North Vancouver Island the longest. It is, there's $500,000 at stake here. That is no small potatoes. That ain't 20 linear feet of Z-Brick. And you get to go to Palm Springs and hang out and have a date shake back in the day. Now, $500,000 alone. Tune in for all new episodes Thursdays, 10 o'clock, 9 central, on History. So your girlfriend, ex-girlfriend,
right,
was brutally murdered,
mm-hmm.
And that got you interested in true crime as well. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, she was my first girlfriend in high school, and we remained friends throughout life. And as a matter of fact, our firstborn boys were born at the same time. I helped name her son. We became very close again in that part. And I'd gone off to college at Winona State University, and we kept in touch. And she'd asked me a few times, you know, I think I need to get out of here. My life isn't going the right way. And we just had these talks. And then I get this call from my mom, and she said, Debbie Evans was your girlfriend in high school, right? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, honey, I've got some bad news. I said, what's that? And she goes, she's been murdered. And this is why I'm so intrigued by the whole aspect of the paranormal or of true crime is – one person doing something bad is terrifying. But when you have people that come together, Debbie was pregnant with her, I think, 4th child at the time, and she had separated from the boyfriend. The boyfriend had concocted a plan with his cousin and his cousin's girlfriend, and she began putting on weight and pretending to be pregnant for 9 months. Yeah. And a week before the baby was due, they went to her apartment, shot her in the head, cut her open, and stole the baby. They also killed her daughter, Samantha. Her son Joshua was lucky enough to hide in a closet, and they went out the front door. He ran out the back and ran right into him.
And then they
spent 2 days torturing him as well.
How long ago did this happen?
This is a little over 20 years ago.
Wow.
And these 3 people, I mean, they made a fatal mistake of leaving Joshua with a family for a short time, and Joshua told them everything that had happened. And they were terrified for their own lives knowing what just happened.
Hold on.
Right.
They kill the mother.
Right.
They pull the baby out of the mother.
Right.
Because they wanted a child?
Right. Because she, either she or his cousin were fixed. They could no longer have children. And they wanted a light-skinned baby. And Debbie was white. And Vern Ward, the father, was dark. So they wanted a nice light-skinned baby.
So
and that was their rationale for this horrific
light-skinned
murder.
African-American.
Right. A mulatto child.
Right. Right. Okay. So then they kill the daughter.
Right.
Just because she's there.
She's there.
The son hides in the closet.
Right.
Is there one other child that's not around?
His other child. And they leave him, who I think he was about 18 months, 19 months, sitting in a pool of his mother's blood. They didn't want to kill him because that was his son as well.
So I see. So this is – all right. So now the other son runs out, who's not his son.
Right.
And runs right into him?
Right smack into them outside the building. So they grab him.
How old is the boy at the time?
I think he was around 7.
Mm-hmm.
And they took him. It's unbelievable. Oh, I guess maybe around 10 at that age, because my son is going to be 30 this year. So they were the same age. So he was around 10 years old. They took him to a house. They said, "Oh, this kid's mom was killed in a drug deal gone bad. Can you watch him? We have to do a few things. You know, my wife's going to go have a baby." And they took off and left him there. And as soon as they left, he just vomited up information about what just occurred. And the family panicked because they knew that they're harboring this child for 3 murderers.
Right.
And they didn't know what to say. So when they came back to pick up the child, they were admissible in court because of this. And being able to share the story, then they ended up trying to choke him to death, gave him iodine to poison him. When that didn't work, they stabbed him in the throat and left him in a dumpster in Illinois.
This was – now, what about the family who he got dropped off with? What did they do?
After everything settled and this whole thing blew up, they contacted the law enforcement and told them what was going on.
But they gave the murderous family the kid back.
Right. And you would think in this situation that cooler heads would prevail. I guess being put in a position where you're watching a child who just told you what these 3 people did, and they know you and your family and your children, I'm not making excuses for them because I'm horrified by the entire case, but I can't begin to believe or understand what that fear would do to you to protect your own family.
The question is, do you escape in the night and change your name and leave everything behind, or do you give the kid back? Or?
Right. So they.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't know why it just popped in my head, but when we were talking to, me and Mark Garagus were talking to Chris Darden about the person who did see OJ at the murder scene and just never said anything.
Right.
You know, and you go, what? And then you go, would you really want to throw yourself into that mix?
Right.
Like, let's just say someone, you know, I don't know if they're walking their dog or they're sitting in their car. They saw OJ and his Bronco stop and turn and go up the hill. Now, you can just look down and adjust the radio or go home and not say anything or throw yourself in the middle of that.
Where then suddenly your whole life gets exposed and beaten up by the prosecution or defense, whichever side they're going to use.
Oh, my God. So, oh, no. They'd find a guy from your Pop Warner football team from 1977 saying he dropped the N-bomb.
Right. Yeah. And, to discredit and ruin your life.
You'd literally have to move. I understand that person.
Like, right.
I get that person going and rationalizing, oh, they're going to find him guilty anyway. They don't need me for this.
Right. But they did. Once law enforcement was alerted to this murder, because Debbie's current boyfriend came home to find the 18-month sitting there trying to wake his mommy and took her. He called the police and everything kind of blew up from there. The news was they found all of them within a day. They had possession of the baby. They had possession of some of her clothing. They had some of the weapons. And they were tried and found guilty and put on death row. One of the Governor Ryans that left office in Illinois commuted all sentences when he left to life in prison without parole. So they get to go on datacon.com and talk about how sad they are and how much you should love them. So it's kind of a sad aspect of the case that they get to live on. And not that I'm for the death penalty necessarily, but it's horrific.
Right, more spirits to talk to for you, man.
Yeah.
It's good business. I
am
for the death penalty, but I'm also not for people taking their own politics and grafting it on to decisions that have already been made. Like, hey, you're not involved. This is between the old governor, the prosecutor, the family members, everyone else. And when this dust settled, they decided that's what, and you go, well, I fundamentally agree with this, so I disagree with this fundamentally, right. So I'm just going to go ahead and change everything. No. I know it goes on a lot in politics. I don't like it. I don't like that Charles Manson is still alive. Like, hey,
right.
We had the death penalty. We decided he should go to the gas chamber, and then they changed. California changed. Fine. He's grandfathered in.
Right.
That's the way I look at it. Is yeah. While we round, had a death penalty, right. He was found guilty. So
and in this case, you have three that there's no question. There's no shadow of a doubt that they did this and were involved in it. Yeah, I believe the minute the gavel hit the deal, they should have been taken out back and shot, and we don't pay for any more of their life to continue. That's been my stance since the beginning. I understand in one sense why the governor would do this, and that's because DNA was more in its infancy, and they were learning more about getting people off. And the Innocence Project works with families and people that are in prison. There's an estimation that there's anywhere between 40 to 100 people wrongly imprisoned in every state right now. And they don't have the man hours to go through DNA kits, rape kits, murder kits to get the right people off out of prison. So I can understand being cautious, because when you're talking about somebody's lives, and there are some people that have been put to death. There was a woman on death row in Illinois that was going to be put to death for murdering her own son, and an author, and I wish I could remember her name off the top of my head. We had her on our true crime show a while back. She, while interviewing this murderer, he admits to her, oh yeah, I've done a lot more than this. There's some broad on death row in Illinois for murdering her son that I did. She was able to get her acquitted, and had that not come out and they were able to prove and put this guy there, this woman, I mean, first of all, to lose your child, second of all, to be put in jail for their death and then be put on, you know, that you're going to die in prison. I can't even wrap my head around that concept. So I understand, and there are a lot of wrongfully convicted cases, and we talk about this a lot on our show, and it's scary as hell to realize how easy and quick sometimes law goes to just try to get the case answered and let's move on to the next big case.
Well,
so I'm with you on the fact that I think if we have beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you know for a fact this person, I mean, you caught them with the baby, with the murder, what, there's no question, put them out.
I agree.
But there's other people that maybe because of the stature of their life, the color of their skin, will not get a fair shake in government, and we have to be careful of making that trigger pull too.
Look, I say to people all the time, hey, case by case. Everyone has exactly. This thing where it's like, well, once we do this, then what happens if you get caught jaywalking? We got to put you down. I mean, that's where we're heading. I mean, what's the difference? And I'm like, what do you mean? What? There's a huge difference. Oh, what's the difference? What's the difference between you left the pool cover open and you let your kid play in the backyard and you had a couple of beers and fell asleep and now we got a dead body? Now, what are we going to do with it? It's like, no. Not that. Not even
right.
Close to that.
Right.
Not even. Well, what happens when you hear the sliding door open in the middle of the night and you grab your gun and you shoot at the shadowy figure and it turns out to be one of the guys who's one of the gay guys in Modern Family? Then what?
Well,
now we got a dead body. Now I guess we ought to put you down because Eric Stone Street was coming to your house. And it's like, no, we don't. No, we don't.
Right.
No, we need to get Tex Watson. He needs to be put down. Squeaky Fromm could be put down. Charles Mance can be put down. Just like we did Tim McVeigh.
The justice system is broken. The justice system is broken. And unfortunately, everything is painted with the one swath, right? I mean, it's all kind of covered in one, and they're not. The legal system terrifies me. I'm at this point where I make sure I don't even drop a piece of garbage on the ground because I don't want to end up getting ass raped in prison because I was in the wrong place at the right time, you know? And it's
well,
a scary
fact. Maybe you're on
of it.
Top. You're a big guy. You're sturdy.
I'm more of a cuddler. I'm more of a cuddler.
No, the sad when you talk to Mark Garagus about it, the scary part is the DAs and their unlimited budgets and their zeal for whatever. And their thing of like,
and their want to win,
yes,
not get justice, but their want
right.
to win.
All right, at some point, it becomes absolutely abundantly clear that nobody on the Duke lacrosse team raped anybody.
Right,
that becomes abundantly clear at the beginning.
Right,
and the guy goes, "We're moving ahead." It's like, well, you got an ATM receipt that says the guy was at the ATM across town getting money out at the same time the woman claimed she was being raped in a bathroom. So this guy's off the list, right? We have video of him at an ATM.
Right.
No, he is not.
It's like, yeah. Okay, so now you're just taking taxpayers' money and just throwing good after
because
bad.
Because it's a high-profile case that's going to make somebody look good.
They want
that notch on their
that
resume.
That needs to go away.
Exactly. It has to stop being about winning. It has to be about justice.
But at that point, I think like with Making a Murderer, that was a huge docuseries right. that nobody, everyone's still talking about. I think that it's more stick than carrot. You don't want to look bad. You don't want to have to say we were wrong.
But that's what America's been based on, making mistakes and then fixing them.
Yes.
Thomas Edison didn't try a light bulb once and go, well, fuck that. It didn't work.
No.
Right? He created and he kept creating until he got to it.
I can steal it from Nikola Tesla.
Right,
this
exactly.
is the American way.
So that's the point. And when you realize this, and we talked, I hosted Coast to Coast over the weekend, and we talked about the Kurt
is that
Cobain.
Art Bell?
George Norrie.
George Norrie. Yeah. Well, it used to be Art Bell.
Yeah, yes. Art okay. Bell, then
and,
George Norrie. George Knapp. Right, have been involved in this. And I hosted last night talking about the documentary Soaked in Bleach about the death of Kurt Cobain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether you want to believe Courtney Love pulled the trigger, you want to believe some other minion pulled the trigger, or you want to believe that Kurt Cobain did, the one thing we can all agree upon by the simplest look at the evidence is that the police screwed up and they did not do the correct process.
Right.
And he is due justice. So let's find out if he really did commit suicide. We can't just throw him away with the bathwater because he was a junkie and he was kind of a rabble-rouser rocker who, you know, whatever, he's done. We don't have to worry about it now. There's a lot of misconceptions, and I wish Courtney Love would step up and lead the way to say, let's just get this thing done the right way. There's too many glaring holes. And you look at this, and that's a major case. That's a major celebrity case that the police involved in this case dropped the ball. The former police chief has come on record saying, and he was the chief during that time, had I known now, or if I knew then what I knew now, I would reopen this case right now. And the lead chief investigator on the case was fired because he was corrupt and stealing from crime scenes and helping to cover up things. How does this not elicit the opportunity of, okay, just in that we need to re-examine this case?
I have thoughts.
Please.
In an overall gestalt-y kind of way.
Okay.
It'd be funny when the guy was stealing. Bert, where'd you get that flannel? Just add it. Jeez, never seen you.
Look now.
You're an Izod guy, but
no, it's the trend. It's what everybody's
wearing.
It's
cool flannel. Outside. I'm going long sleeve. Okay. Hey, Hulu, man. New look and new experience. More personalized and intuitive. Create up to 6 profiles, including kids mode. Originals like Handmaid's Tale. God, I just saw on Rotten Tomatoes that's at 100%. On Rotten Tomatoes. Don't get much better than that. Current TV and day after shows like, oh, Kimmel. I'll play some softball with him in a couple of few. Full seasons of shows like Fargo, entire series of classics like Seinfeld's, all there on Hulu. New option. Add live TV. Starts at just $39.99 a month. Includes limited commercials. Hulu streaming plan. Includes 50-plus live on demand channels. Plus, you can watch sports on ESPN. FS1 includes regional sports as well. Follow your team and record live with Cloud DVR. Enjoy all your TV in one place with the brand new Hulu experience. Go to Hulu.com and start your free trial today. That is Hulu. Overall, gestalt of what we're talking about is something that I wish we could culturally embrace, much like we like music or sports or something like that. I wish there was a movement of internalization, self-responsibility, and authenticity. And I don't mean that like I'm a real person or I'm transparent, but an ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Minus whatever the shame that we think is attached with being wrong. One of the freest, right. You know, we all start as kids. You tell your kids, you know, hey, you left the light on and then I didn't do it. Well, you're the only one here and I'm the only one here and I've been in my office. You think the dog did it? Well, maybe the dog got up on its, you know, I don't know, you know, and you go, okay, that's a child. Well, no, we're carrying that into adulthood and people do it a lot. And there's many, many versions of it. And what I would encourage everyone to do, but it should be a movement, which is stay have yourself calibrated so that the truth is always something you own, but that there is no baggage involved with it. And if everyone just sort of had that, then Mike Nifong over there with Duke Lacrosse could go, hey, we had this story. We thought it was something. Of course it was, you know, woman of color brought an all-white fraternity. That turns out there's nothing here. I don't have egg on the face kind of feelings toward those guys. I go, that's a stand-up guy.
Right.
Like, I feel like that guy's a legitimate guy.
And we all make mistakes, and people can relate to that.
Right. Or it's not even a mistake. We were misled.
Right.
We were told by this individual who has psychiatric problems that here's what happened to me, and it's our job to listen. But as we vetted her and vetted the case and everything, it turns out there's nothing here. I'm fine with that person. I like that person as the cop or the DA or the school teacher or the whatever it is. And I wish that more people just sort of embrace that lifestyle. It's not a bad lifestyle. There is – I was saying the other day I was in my poor nanny. She just stands in the kitchen while I explain to her what's wrong with everyone in society.
It's literally Adam's.
And she's literally – she's getting paid, so she has to listen. But we are totally simpatico because she's just a hard-working woman who doesn't like any waste. And she'll literally be sitting there, standing there with the carcass of a chicken that came from Zanku Chicken, pulling every piece of gristle and skin off it when anyone else would have thrown it in the garbage pail, because she wants to give it to Phil, the 110-pound lab. She keeps all this what is – I look at as energy, protein, whatever, that can be given to the dog. And I just go off on her. And I was going off on her the other day about I called the guy at night. I said, I need an email. What time? The guy's coming by, blah, blah, blah. Woke up this morning, no email. What the hell's wrong with everybody? I have these very specific conversations. I got a schedule to keep here. I need this information. How do you just go to bed and forget to send the email? What time you're showing up? Blah, blah, blah. I did 10 minutes on that, went to work, whatever. Later on, I found the email that was sent that night. And I felt like an ass because I did 10 minutes on what a lazy, arrogant fool this person was and how difficult is it to do what I tell you to do and blah, blah, blah. And there I was staring at the email that I missed. It was like under a different name or something like that. I missed it. There was a little confusion, but I missed it. And then I have to deal with, well, what do I do with Olga? Because I just did 20 minutes on what an asswipe this person is.
Right.
And I went back that night and I corrected it. I just said, you know, remember I was doing 20 minutes on a guy in the email.
No,
and
I just remember pulling carcass off a chicken.
Right. I said he did send the email, and he did send it that night. So I was wrong, and don't walk around thinking that of this person, because they didn't screw up. I screwed up. And she didn't care. I didn't care either. I just needed
to rectify.
There was something that was wrong. The person was wrongly accused, not of murder, but of not sending an email.
Right.
And I needed to straighten it out. And it was my fault.
Those precedents with the little baby steps, and then that keeps you accountable. And I don't know about you, and I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I have 7 kids of my own, and I watch kids in our neighborhood, and I watch people and the way they act. I'm really worried about our future because nobody takes accountability for the simplest things. And it just astounds me. And I have this conversation with my children over and over. And like you, it's, well, of course you left the light and you were the only one in the room. And I've tried to be the guy that when I go back and I'm like, no, you know what? I did go back in there and I flipped that light on. And I go back to, and I, you know what? I'm sorry, honey, daddy was wrong. I flipped that light on myself and I forgot to turn it off. So I apologize so that my kids know it's okay to be wrong and own it. But there's a lot of people out there that just don't. And it's a scary situation because I don't know how to – you know, I joke around about this with my mom and aunt before my mom passed. I said, you realize you hippies screwed up America. And she said, how's that?
My mom.
And
yeah.
I said, you spanked me. And then you all stood up and said, yeah, we shouldn't spank anymore. We should just love. And this big movement started. And I didn't get abused, but I had a healthy respect and fear of my dad. And I didn't do stupid things.
Yeah,
there's you. Now you raise your hand. I'll tell my teachers.
Oh my God!
And that cripples the ability of parenting. And then they were talking about that law a few years ago, where if your child commits a crime, and they're underage, we're going to hold you responsible. Mm-hmm. How you've taken away my ability to punish my child. I can't send them to bed without dinner because that's humiliation and neglect. I can't spank them because that's physical abuse. So we're in a weird, delicate world where you never know, a reality star might end up the president someday.
Let me tell you this.
What?
The self-esteem movement is eroding our society.
Yes.
We decided at some point about 20 years ago that the most important feeling a kid could have about themselves was self-esteem. We decided, you know, I think it started sort of in the inner cities. These kids don't have dads. They're poor, whatever. We got to get in there and make them feel great about themselves. Self-esteem makes horrible citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes bad people, and I think it makes miserable people as well.
They're self-entitled,
you're
and when they don't get what they want.
They do
right.
studies on people who feel really good about themselves. They do the most littering. Like, they really do. You really have to have a little healthy disdain and mistrust of yourself. We've decided that convincing people they felt good about themselves was job one for the educational system. I think it was about 20 years ago. I don't know. Tell Gary he can look it up. But the point is, if it's not based on achievement, then it's a horrible thing to do. It's essentially saying,
everything here is yours for the taking instead of earning and putting yourself forward to get these things that we had to learn.
Absolutely. Hey,
these kids and their rock and roll music.
Bubblegum and records.
31 from Florida. You have a question?
Yeah, Ace, man. What's going on? Happy Father's Day, man.
Thank you, man.
My question is, you know, if you could have a genie that could grant you this very specific wish, in that either Sonny or Natalia does not do this activity, that you have to put in tons and tons and tons of hours to master, but you get basically zero reward for it. What would you not want them to do?
Rodeo clown. Mm. That's a lot of work, a lot of danger.
A lot of makeup.
And, you know, I have a scale, a chart at home that I'm going to show my son. He's 11 now, but I'll show it to him. It's the danger to pussy ratio. And so, technically, being a fighter pilot in today's Army and Navy and Marines and Air Force, not that dangerous. You know, we're not in the middle of a conflict. You're not flying a P-51 Mustang over Strudeldorf. You're in something that's got a lot of computers on it, a lot of simulation time. And technically, fighter pilot is not that dangerous. Or even fireman, right. Not that dangerous. You know, they say it all the time. Like, construction work is more dangerous than being a fireman. But fireman, much more pussy. You see, fighter pilot, much more pussy. Rodeo clown, zero pussy. See what I'm saying? But lots of danger.
And they get zero pussy.
That's what I'm... Yes.
Well, I think okay. Rodeo clown...
I'm not saying you don't own a pussy. I'm saying...
Sorry, I was confused about that.
Sorry.
Don't you think rodeo clown is going to balance for pussy with the level of Budweiser, though?
You mean like you own a pussy?
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You get no pussy, and you have all the danger.
Yes.
So you want
correct.
The job... Like, that gets pulls the most pussy.
Right.
I mean, look, I'm leaving out rock star because you don't get to just sign up to be a rock star or take a test or something like that. But, good pussy versus danger, chef. Chefs get a ton of pussy, not so much danger.
That makes sense. Just so you know, I was thinking of a spectrum, like 0% to 100% pussy. Like, how much of a pussy are you?
That's all right.
I'm back on.
Good. Tom?
I know it's 2017, but what about Natalia? I mean, I don't see her being a rodeo clown. What's the female version, I guess?
The female version is probably nurse. It's just a lot of work these days. Like, it's not the nurse of the hot candy striper. It's more weird. First off, you become morbidly obese because they change the outfit from the tight-fitting dress to the big... gowny, sweaty, kind of, you know, you end up, that's why Suge Knight got so big, you know what I mean? Just give him all the velour and elastic you can handle, and you just start growing. You're like a fish in an aquarium. You just grow to the size of it.
Yeah, you fill it.
I'm telling you, nurses got fatter when they put them in the scrubs. The scrubs is the ultimate, like, fat guy out. That's the Whitey's version of the black guy, fat guy, sweatpants. You know,
Have you been to a Walmart or Target any time in the last 30 years? Because that whole confinement thing doesn't work. I see a lot of people wearing outfits that they should have taken off 22 years ago.
Like popping fresh dough.
Yeah. No, that's the yoga pants thing where the chick pulls the yoga pants on. It's got no business wearing the yoga pants. But nurses, you never saw a heavy nurse. You never, in the 60s, the 50s, even the 70s, there's no such thing as a fat nurse. That was a crazy novelty if there was a fat nurse. Nurses are big. Now, there's like a nursing school in Hollywood or something, or it lets off on the channel there. And I've seen like three or four packs of just gargantuan people, men and women, in the nursing scrubs walking down the street. You guys notice this? Or is that... Is it just me?
100% a new phenomenon that I have witnessed.
There was no such thing as a fat nurse. There was no movie. There was no any TV show. There's no fat nurse in the background, in anything. And they are big now. And I blame the outfits. And also, they get to graze all day. Like, that guy's in a coma. He doesn't need that Jell-O.
The blood bank. They have the cookies and the juice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So I don't want her to be a nurse. Although it's a good, it pays well, but it's a lot more weird body stuff coming out of you know, like cleaning and stuff like that. And I don't want him to be a rodeo clown. Let's talk to Tyler, 32, New York. Tyler?
Hey, everybody. Get it on. How you doing?
What's going on, man?
Hey, I was watching the NBA Finals when it was at Golden State, and when the Cavs came up to play, they played the Imperial March from Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
To announce the team, and I was thinking, boy, if I was LeBron James, would that make me feel cool, like I'm Darth Vader?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, if they were smart, they should play like a chick song or like a Tool tune to confuse and emasculate the opposing team if they really want to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, what tune would you play to confuse and emasculate the opposing team at a basketball game?
It's low tempo, and you got to listen to the lyrics. Dawson, you can find Alice Cooper's Only Women Bleed. And I feel like that would take the fight right out of your opposition. It's a weird song. Also has a bizarre sort of connotation to it, which is, yeah, it is true. About once a month, most women do bleed over there. And I feel like that would be good if you were bringing out opposing anything. Let's see if Dawson can find it. Hold on. Picture LeBron coming out down the tunnel, right?
Man got his woman to take his seat. He got the power, oh, she got the need.
Take his seat.
She spends her life through pleasing up a man.
Confused cheerleaders.
Some dinner, oh, anything she can. She cries alone at night too often.
And now at 6'7",
smokes and drinks and don't come home at all. Only women bleed. Only women bleed.
The tempo is horrible too.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Only women bleed.
Cooper's done more with less than almost anyone on the planet. All right. Good. Fine. Have my baby. I think that's another, that's probably a good one, too. All right. Hold on a second. Hey, Tyler?
Yeah.
So I'll go Only Women Bleed and or Having My Baby.
What about Ironic by Alanis Morissette? I feel like it'd be damn hard to play a basketball game after being introduced
to that.
But
how about this one by Neil Sedaka? Because it is Neil Sedaka, isn't it?
Baby, what a lovely way of saying how much you love me.
This,
then now, have starting baby, center.
This reminded me.
What a lovely way of saying how much you love me.
Because it's creepy when he's talking about seeds growing.
I can see it.
Listen to this.
The face is glowing. I can see it in your eyes. I'm happy and you're my baby. You're the woman I love, and I love what it's doing to you.
Doing to you.
Having my baby.
The mascot slowly puts down the
weird
t-shirt cannon.
You're a woman in love, and I love what's going through you.
Brilliant.
The need inside you, I see it showing. Oh, the seed inside you, baby. Do you feel it growing?
What a weird Dawson, we got to put together Creep Rock, which is like a put my seed inside you and I see it growing. Like, I got to think about you shooting your wad into your backup singer.
This song is why I'm barren.
Yeah.
I can't
do it. It's too creepy. All right. Dave Schrader, Beyond the Darkness is the name of the podcast that is weekdays on Podcast One and iTunes. And give it a nice rating on iTunes. Leave 5 stars. Also, the podcast, the True Crime Tuesday, that's only on Patreon, but you can check that out as well. Dave, man, this has been a little slice.
Thank you very much for having me in. I appreciate it.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We have the Lord's work to do. I'll explain it when we come back. We'll do a little news, and we'll do that right after this.
The Corolla Drink Seattle Bar Crawl is sold out. But don't worry, you can still party with us at the Showbox Soto Lounge. Saturday, June 24th. Lynette Corolla, Ray Oldhoffer, Jay Miller, Gary, Kalen, Dylan, Nick, Dawson, plus Loxy. And I'll pick up all your pieces, but I can't help you. Loxy at the Showbox Soto Lounge. Plus, special guest, Moon Darling. Tickets and more information at CorollaDrinks.com. Get your tickets now for Loxy and Moon Darling Saturday night at the Showbox Soto Lounge at CorollaDrinks.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Spike Ferguson from Spike's Car Radio. We're out here in the porch of at the Malibu Kitchen at the Malibu Country Mart every weekend doing podcasts. My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. We're going to have Jeremy Piven. We're going to have Chris Hardwick. See you soon on Spike's Car Radio.
I think he's over-projecting for a podcast.
And I love to over-project for podcasts. Join me every week at PodcastOne.com and Apple Podcasts.
And now, another actual 5-star iTunes review of the podcast, read by Adam's buddy, Oswaldo.
My day is incomplete without this.
You said it, pal. Go to iTunes, rate, and review the podcast, and maybe Ozzy will butcher your review, too. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, got a little news coming up. Oh, I got things to talk about. Maybe I'll save it for tomorrow. We have let's see who's on. I'm sorry, I gotta
John
get my,
Taylor.
Yeah, I gotta get my piece of paper over here. Hey, John.
Yeah,
John, explain why you're on this podcast.
I can answer the question on what you do in a race car for 6 hours if you have to pee.
Oh, all right, go ahead.
You guys were talking about it several months ago, and I actually am in a race car. I co-drive on a trophy truck team, and it's a catheter, but that's not the real reason I'm calling.
Is it really a catheter?
An internal or external?
Yeah, I think my wife is a nurse, and they call it like a Texas catheter or something like that. Picture an industrial-strength condom.
Yeah.
The stadium button.
Yeah, anytime they put Texas or Mexican in front of something, I steer clear. Unless it involves breakfast.
Oh,
in which case,
great.
Then I'm in, you see?
Yeah.
Texas or Mexican, I'm in, like chorizo or something. You know, if they give it Texas or Mexican, Tex-Mex, I'm in if it's breakfast. But anything to do with my cock, I'm out. That's how I go through life, man. Is your wife a big lady, or is she one of the nubile thin nurses of yore?
The nubile thin nurses of yore.
I like that.
Yeah.
So John wrote, now just tell us the backstory.
So I'm a foster parent of 3 kids right now and a biological daughter. So I have 4 kids. And as I stated before, my wife is a nurse. And she happens to work in the ER right down the road that would be what's akin to the orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more complicated than that. But so inevitably, she sees all of the kids at one time or another. And Haley came in. Haley's 14 years old. It was something simple like a slip and fall or something like that. But, of course, my wife, being who she is, started asking questions. And it turns out Haley had really no one in her life. And so my wife said, I'll be your friend. I'll come visit you. And, you know, we have a very small house, and so we were full as far as foster kids go. We have a three-bedroom, one-bath house, and we've got six people in it.
How does the foster care program work?
You have to sort of decide that it's something you want to do. And there's some foster family agencies. That's who we're through. We're through a company, an agency called Bethany, and they will walk you through the whole process.
What is the average stay of a foster child in a foster home? We don't have to get too far into the weeds, but we hear it all the time. A foster parent, you go, oh, good, that's awesome, good for you. But I think, they stay in them for a month? Are they in for 5 years? Can it be forever? Do you adopt them? Like, how does it work? What's your compensation from the state? How does it work with the actual parents of the foster child? Okay. Do they visit? You know, how does this work?
Oh, man. Okay. So my wife and I are going to adopt every child in our home. We're in the final stages of it. There are, like, you can get into fostering and say, hey, you know what? You can call me at midnight and we'll be a temporary solution for 2 weeks for this child until you figure out what to do with them. So you can kind of fit yourself in anywhere in there. Mm-hmm. The compensation.
So it's everything from I'll take them for 2 weeks to I'll take them for the rest of their life.
Yeah. 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 And so the compensation, you know, it can be, there is compensation. I don't know how you can really be an involved parent and a good parent. And, you know, you hear the stories of people making money doing it. We dig into our pockets every single month, every single month. The numbers vary between what your kids need, somewhere between $800 and $1,100 a month per kid. We have two small, we have a 2 and a 3-year-old. We spend just about all of that on daycare.
What is the circumstances for most kids that fall into that system? Is it single family, single mother raising, and then drugs start to seep in? I would imagine that would be the leader in the clubhouse. It's not, you know, died in a dirigible accident, now orphaned.
I can speak from my perspective. There's three kids right now. If we count Haley, that'll be okay. We have four kids. Three dads are incarcerated. One mom is on drugs, and one mom has what I would call mental issues that are not she won't be able to overcome.
I cannot imagine the. Well, first off, I don't really want any contact with my biological children is a form of insanity mm-hmm. that for me, or in a form of human that trumps everything else almost evil in life. Like when you show me a woman who's like, you know, you talk to these people and it's like, well, we grew up in Canoga Park, but then when I was four, my mom remarried. She moved to Florida, but she would come out, you know, a couple times a year and we'd go to Disneyland. And I'm like, wow, your mom is severely impaired, like traumatized. Yeah. Like that's a,
yeah.
You take my wife, Lynette, and these kids and you tell her, hey, take 3 days off or 5 days off. Couldn't do it. Much less. A lifetime. I mean, total insanity. Like, there's one thing, you know, Lynette's capable of many things. This is one thing she is not capable of. And nobody I know who's wired correctly, guys are more capable of it, but it still makes you a bad guy. And I measure everybody by their relationship with their kids.
Yeah.
You show me a guy whose adult kids don't talk to him or don't respect him or don't whatever. I'm just going to show you a guy I don't like or I don't respect.
Well,
yes.
You know, you say something all the time, too, and I think it's more profound than I think you realize. You know, you'll inevitably have a caller call in and they'll be like, you know, my child's doing this and we've tried some therapy and, you know, I've talked to him about this and they're going through they're running the whole gamut. And you usually stop them and say, because you're interested – and because you're calling here, because you care, you're going to be fine. That is the good parent.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Is the one you don't, that is the one you don't
sure.
have to worry
it's
about.
It's like the person that worries about having bad breath is never going to be the person with the bad breath because they're constantly brushing and flossing and checking. It's that way with everything. They would call and go, I'm worried because my parents got divorced. My dad was kind of neglectful that I, so what I'm doing now is I'm taking parenting classes on this, but I'm worried. It's like, what are we worried about you for? You're in therapy. You're taking parenting classes. Yeah. You're reading books.
You're breaking the pattern.
Right.
Absolutely. All right. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get John and his angel of a wife a couple of bucks so you can add on to your house, right?
Yeah, I mean, the limitation is the square feet, but Adam, it's kind of snowballing into a little bit bigger than this. There's some like legislation that led us into where we're at here with Haley, and so, you know, anytime you gain some notoriety and things like that, you know, I'm gonna have a pirate ship because I'm gonna be that guy mm-hmm. that raised that money that added on to his house. And that will get me in front of people, I think. And that will be able to allow me to, because the legislation that's written around this that put the sense of urgency on helping Haley here, it's retarded legislation. And so...
What is the legislation?
It's AB 403, and I printed it. It's a 311-page document, and I'm by no means a legal expert, but...
It's okay, we have time.
Yeah. What does it say?
I'll give you a synopsis. It's basically reclassifying the orphanages, as we will call them, to short-term facilities. So they're supposed to be in and out in 45 days. But it never addresses seriously the recruitment of the foster parents to get them out of that. So we'll come up to this 45. Like, we went to a team meeting for Haley, and what drove all of this is there was 8 people in the room, and we were missing the county recruiter for foster families. And I said, well, congratulations. You know, we've identified that Haley needs a foster home, but the recruiter's not here. So we've all climbed to the top of Retard Mountain and planted our flag, and let's come back in 2 weeks and have no progress. So I walked out of that meeting and said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do it.
All right, well, what people should do is go to GoFundMe.com, search for Hope for Haley. Especially, she's a 14-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, 14-year-old girls, boy, do they need help, especially daddy and everything. I mean, come on now. And
you're not kidding.
The thing that drives me insane about our society in general is we have things that we want, you know, as a society, you have things you want your members of society to do. And it's like, I would like everybody who goes and gets their license at the DMV to check the donor box.
Right.
Okay, so what do we do? How do we do this? What can we do? Well, hope that people check the donor box. Oh, no, that doesn't seem to be working out. Well, we got to hope. I mean, what can we do? It's like,
prayer.
Well, look, we're in a drought. Yeah, we want to save water. Right. Well, what do? Just sit around and pray? Or do we go, look, I just talking to Matt Porson, Punisher final year. Hey, his parents were having some trouble. They couldn't fill their pool. They had to wait. You know what I mean?
Right.
You'll get fined if you hose your driveway down. You set your sprinklers to go off in the middle of the night so it doesn't evaporate at high noon. Okay. Well, there's a bunch of stuff. Now what? Oh, we saved 32% in water. Okay, good. That's what we want to do. So we want more people to be foster parents or to be aware of it or to even discuss it. I'm besieged with clicket or ticket, or I go to the goddamn airport and there's a picture of a rhino and it says, I'm not medicine. This is the fucking messages we're sending? What is a bigger issue? Unwanted children that are going off to get pregnant, teens and getting involved with gangs and crimes, or the smuggling of ivory into LA?
Yeah, a debate could be made in Kansas City when you're at the airport.
Jesus Christ, it's a picture of a fucking baboon. It's like, I'm not your girlfriend. It's like, what? What's going on? Who's going to Africa? We're in the airport. We're in Reno. The fuck is going on? Yeah. Why aren't we more interested in, and I, you know, Gavin Newsom sat there and he told me he likes working small to big. He told me with pride all over his retarded fucking pie face. He told me I like working small to big. Well, I guess that is. I guess ivory. I guess rhino ivory, which touches nobody's life I've ever met, I guess that would be working small to big.
You can get behind that.
Is that who we want running the fucking state? The retard that goes small to big? I want big to fucking small. Traffic's up top. We want foster parents. That's near the top. At all top. Then we'll get down to the rhino. Ivory, once we create this fucking utopia. Jesus Christ. John, you got me all upset now.
The genius in the legislation that's written says it's going to save us money, and all of this money is going to be funneled back into the general fund, into the broken system. And by the way, we're not allowed to start any new programs over there in the general fund. So we're going to save a bunch of money, but we can't really do anything with it.
Here is the dealio. Building low-cost housing for homeless is not going to do shit in this fucking society. These people are too far gone. This next generation is going to cost us because they're the next generation of homeless people. They're the next generation of addicted people. They're the next generation of criminals, of teen mothers. They're the next generation of all unemployed. The next generation of all the shit we don't want is coming up the pike. And you can either pay me now or pay me later. But if you pay me later, there's going to be a ton of interest. So when it comes time to spend money or see where we allocate money, I look at this as, oh, no, we're saving. We're going to give you a couple of nickels. We're going to save a bunch of dollars. Big picture.
Right.
Of course, you can't imagine how much it costs to incarcerate people or what the tax on the hospitals, the system, the uninsured, the unemployed, the everything. Hey, John.
Yeah.
So people can go to GoFundMe.com and search Hope for Haley.
And that's H-A-I-L-E-Y. And you know what? Please just contact your local family foster agency and just ask some questions. Just ask some questions. Parenting is not, it's simple. It's not easy. It's simple, though.
I like that.
You just have to be involved.
I agree. It's just calories burned. Thanks, John.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for having me on, you guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. I like that. It's not easy, but it's simple.
Yeah.
It's sort of like I feel that way about building stuff. Like it's not easy, but it is simple.
That makes
just
sense.
Show up and start sweating, start moving, start working every day.
I have to tell you, I never talk about this, certainly not publicly. I talk about it with friends and family. But ever since I was a kid, I've always just assumed, I don't know, just my gut always told me that I was going to adopt or be a foster parent. That's what I've always been drawn to.
Mm-hmm.
And so hearing stuff like this, and I have a friend that's sort of going through that program right now. I get it. And I wasn't adopted, and I've never had too much experience with foster families, but I think that's going to be the route for me.
I think that's very commendable, and I've always felt like those kids are loved much more than many other kids are loved. I'm absolutely convinced that my parents really didn't want kids, or if they did, they certainly never let on, you know, like they just, they're not into it.
You played it close to the vest.
Well, it sounds incredibly damning on Father's Day, but they just didn't want kids. I mean, or they did, but then they didn't, my sister ran away. I moved out from my mom's, and they had like back and forth with the kids. Right. You know, I guess they separated when I was 9 or something. But then we went back and forth for a couple of years. But at a certain point, my dad got a normal house, like not a crappy apartment, this, that, and the other. And it was sort of across from the high school, though I was in junior high. And I just sort of told my mom, I'm just going to go live full time over there. And she was like, yeah. You know, like...
She made no grand gesture to keep you?
Well, it was a hassle. You know, like, if you are a person, there are people I know too well sometimes where everything is a hassle, even if it's raising your kids or something that you might find enjoyable, or we might find enjoyable. You know, there's people where you go, hey, I got free tickets to the ball game. We're in the luxury box. You want to go? Like, what day? Traffic. Like, Saturday? Yeah, traffic, parking, you know, how much is a hot dog? What are we talking about here?
I'll end up spending more than
right,
you think.
Right, right, right. Yeah, it's literally... You can make anything a hassle because, you know, going to New York for 2 days. Oh, well, you got to go to the airport. You got to wait in security. I got to get on the flight. Who knows? There's going to be some nut job puss doctor on the flight who needs to be dragged on off and screaming his nose. Bro. Like, it can. Everything can be a hassle. And kids can be a hassle legitimately and just sort of globally. Like, when you're a parent, I believe that both my parents were wired and they didn't want to be hassled, and they also didn't have a wire, they weren't wired for enjoyment. So there's the balancing act. The balancing act is, well, I'll tell you the balancing act in one second. I'll tease it first. Smart mouth. We were just talking about bad breath. Yeah, if you work on it, you got no problem. How about smart mouth? Dual solution oral rinse. Only activated mouthwash, clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent it from coming back for 12 full hours. Zinc ion technology binds to the bacteria, forcing it to stop producing sulfur gas. Drew loves this. The reason Drew loves it is because it's technology. It's science. It is science. It's two parts. Mix them, rinse it out, attacks the sulfur gas. Nothing ruins an intimate moment as quickly as stinky breath. Doesn't matter if you work out all day or drive a Lambo like the Ace Man over here. If your mouth smells like wet garbage, no, you're sunk. You're kaput. Foul breath, it'll ruin it, man. Sabotage relationships, career prospects. Let's not let that happen. Go to smartmouth.com. Find it at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS, wherever you shop. That is Smart Mouth. There's this hassle versus enjoyment, and it can be found in almost every facet of life. So me racing a race car is a profound hassle mixed with a bunch of enjoyment.
Right.
That I small amounts of enjoyment, fleeting enjoyment, and then lots of putting a car on a trailer and dragging it to Texas and stuff like that. Lots of expense, lots of hassle, lots of get hotel rooms and fuel and blah, 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 blah. Hassle, hassle, hassle. A bunch of crazy enjoyment. Small.
But powerful.
Well, the amount of time you're actually in the car racing is minuscule to the amount of time you're prepping the car and dragging the car. Now, if you can find satisfaction in the preparation and the loading and the transportation and all that, that's a good thing. So driving your kid to the other side of town to play a soccer game, hassle. Watching your kid kick the winning goal, joy.
Right.
Okay? So those are that's the balance.
Right.
But if you don't find any joy in the kid kicking the soccer ball into the net, then it's hassle meets not much. Yeah. I mean, it's not a hassle to watch your kid, but if it doesn't do anything for you, then it's just whatever the negative part is about fill in the blank, going to the recital or going to the event or whatever, Jimmy hosting the Oscars, whatever it is, versus the non-enjoyment part of it. And that makes, well, let's do the math. Why are we leaving the house then?
That's a good point.
Why did we drive all the way across town to watch this kid's Pee Wee football game or whatever version of that it is?
We won't make that mistake again.
Right. So there's no enjoyment. So the best parents are the ones that get so much enjoyment, pride, whatever you want to call it, out of seeing the kid even on the soccer field. Right. Forget about kicking the winning goal. Look, if you told most parents, look, I'll tell you what I can guarantee your kid's going to kick the winning goal over here. Go. I got a couple friends that are mobbed up and they'll take care of you. They're going to make it happen. Well, then most, maybe not my parents, but most parents would do the drive across town. Right. It's the drive across town to possibly watch your son or daughter sit on the bench for the lion's share of the game and then just get enjoyment when they actually just went on the field and ran up and down the field. Those parents are the best parents.
Yeah.
Provided they're not screaming at the ref and, you know, overzealous about the entire thing.
And you know, we were talking about breaking the cycle and you don't have to be like your parents. But in that case, I can see why the kid would grow up the same way. Well, you know what? I played, you know, soccer. I did dance and no one ever showed up for me. So I guess it wasn't worth it. I guess it wasn't that fun.
Yeah, it's hard not to be poisoned by that. That being said, the kids are pumped about playing softball with Kimmel. All right, should we do a little bit of news and then we'll call of the day here?
Let's do it. Well, it looks like Mark Garagus called this one. NBC News reports that Bill Cosby's sexual assault trial ended Saturday with a jury that was still deadlocked on all counts after 52 hours of deliberations, punctuating an epic scandal with a giant question mark. So Montgomery County Judge Steve O'Neill declared a mistrial. But the case against the legendary comedian isn't over yet. Prosecutors say they will retry him on three counts of aggravated indecent assault, a charge that carries a 10-year prison sentence. Accusers say they are ready for a second round, which could start in about 4 months. Constan versus Cosby is...
being accused of now?
Well, he's accused of... how many counts does it say?
Well, is they're going to retry him on a different...
No, on the exact same charge, because it was a hung jury. So the prosecutor is allowed to refile the charges, get a new jury, and try
it. So the way Gina was saying it, it seemed like it was like a new set of something.
You know what? I thought it was.
It is possible they will modify it slightly and, you know, not include things that were included this time or something of that sort. But the prosecutor has come out and said they will be refiling charges representing the same victim.
Yeah.
And the victim is on board.
With a new jury.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it'll be a totally new trial. I presume that most of the charges will be exactly the same, if not all.
All right. Well, we'll ask Garagus.
And he's the one who said this is not a slam dunk like everybody thinks it is.
No, he sort of knew it. I wonder which juries. Now, his thing was they got two African-Americans on there. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they were the ones that held out.
And sequestered was something he was very, very big on.
He liked that as well. On the other hand, I don't know. Like, the DA did it as part of an election promise,
right?
Which I don't like at all. I don't, as much as you may disagree with Cosby, the notion that this guy goes, he elect me and I'm going to open this case from 8 years ago is like, it feels un-American to me. Like, it's like, you shouldn't even be allowed to do that.
Right.
It's certainly not go out there and get on a stump and
that's
shout about it. Yeah, it's a weird way to get somebody. It just feels very whatever our system is supposed to be, it doesn't feel like that. But I guess there's a lot of that. On the other hand, so what? Bill's just going to go home and just wait for the next.
Yeah, I mean,
summons.
He's basically off now until the next one starts up. I mean, it was a hung. They came to no conclusion.
I feel like no conclusion. I don't feel like, I feel like it's a kind of a draw so the champ gets to keep his belt.
Well, that's how his attorney feels.
It's a drugging and raping champ.
Right.
But it is you have three outcomes here. You have, as Garagus pointed out, you know, it's not guilty or not guilty. They can be hung. I feel like you have guilty, in which case you're getting incarcerated. Mm-hmm. You have exonerated or not guilty, and then you just go free. And then the middle is hung jury, champ gets to keep his belt. Maybe it's not his reputation, but he gets to keep his belt,
right.
Which is you couldn't decide that he was guilty. And see, thus he gets to go home and ride out his whatever years in his, hopefully in a shame spiral. I don't know.
Well, that's what his attorney said, that they consider this a victory, and I could definitely see how they'd see it that way.
Well, it's kind of weird that they go, look, we couldn't make our case, and we couldn't get it done, so go home, and we'll see in 6 months, we'll try to get it done again. Like, I feel like as much as you disagree with Bill Cosby, it's not fair to whoever it is who just sort of went through this ordeal to go, we'll bring you back and we'll put you through it again.
Now, I don't know if this has been announced, Gary, maybe you do, but I was looking up, you know, what things lead to a deadlock jury or a mistrial or whatever. And it could be things that were out of their control, like someone on the jury talked to the press or they read information they weren't supposed to read. So in that case.
Yeah.
That's done.
No, to the best of my understanding, this was just a hung jury where one of the jurors refused to change their opinion. It wasn't any sort of outside. It was a straight up deadlock because I believe at a certain point after 30 or 35 hours, they came to the judge and said, we're hung. And he said, no, go try again.
Back.
They tried for another 12 hours or something. And then they came back to the judge and that was where it ended.
I pray it was the one black dude on the jury who went, we hung. Yeah.
Could have been both of them.
Well,
I feel you, brother. I know. It's no myth. I've seen enough
pornography. I don't know what that has to do with the case, sir.
Yeah, thank you for that tidbit. Now get back and deliberate.
But there are little loopholes.
But I would be curious to find out, was it the... So, first off, we don't know if it was one person.
We do not. It could have been both the black gentleman, or it could have been four people. We don't know yet. It hasn't come out.
It'd be interesting, and Garrigus always says it's all in the jury selection. The whole thing, won and lost. There
and
it is.
It's so interesting, because it's like they have to trade, you know, the prosecution defendants, they have to, okay, well, fine, we'll give you that jury, but we get this kind of jury person. You know, like they want race, they want gender, they want age, and they have to trade for them.
I wanted to say this to Dave Schrader, who's in here, but I've been saying this for over a decade. Can we just have the basically, and it's not as much the case here, but can we just, we're talking about people on death row, don't want to be on death row, and getting, we don't want to kill people that were innocent, but we don't know. I just want my ultimate lie detector. I really just do. We have lie detectors, and they are admissible, I think, sometimes, and other times not. But there seems to be enough to them that they, you know, I think they asked OJ to take one, you know. It's a science.
Right.
It's not smoke and hokum. It's a science. And there is an MRI. And Dr. Drew told me about this years ago when he did Loveline. He went to the functional MRI machine. They put him in there. They show you pictures of kittens. They show you pictures of pornography. And they show a woman, a baby, and a part of her brain lights up. And they show him a puppy, and the same part like lights up. Not you. Smiling or nodding, right, or sweating or anything. It's just a part of your brain that reacts. And I said, that's incredible technology. This is, you know, circa 2001. I said, let's get all the scientists of the world working on this thing, a real true lie detector, like a real lie detector. It
seems
time. And then these long, drawn-out circuses with, you know, O.J. trying to get the glove on when he's wearing a neoprene glove on underneath it, and this thing's been soaked in blood and dried in the sun on a car hood. Like, I can't get a goddamn sleeping bag back into its bag. I can't do it. And if you ever told me to do it in front of a jury and make it look like I couldn't do it, I'd be on my back using my feet struggling with this fucking thing, much less put the glove on, right, that you couldn't get on because it was dried blood on it, yep, and shrunken and everything else. Forget it. Go right into the functional MRI machine and let's settle this right straight away. All right. Let's bring it home.
You got
girl.
It. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Oh, yeah. We don't have an outro. Life Lock, man. You ever get that scary, flashing, pop-up virus alert? It's probably a tech support scammer trying to get you to call their toll-free number and trick you into giving them remote access to your computer. Don't do it, man. Identity theft. It's America's fastest-growing crime. That's why I have Life Lock. My wife has it. The kids have it. Yuck, you have a social security number. You need Life Lock. Scans hundreds of millions of transactions each second. They detect your information. They send you an alert. If you have a problem, their U.S.-based team will fix it. They're not outsourced. They're out here. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock is the best protection available, and it starts at just $9.99 a month. That's it. Just $9.99 a month. LifeLock, the best. Dawson.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock Ultimate Plus membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
All right. Live shows coming up. Las Vegas, Caesar's Palace coming up Thursday, July 13th. You come out to that. July 6th, we're down in Oxnard. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the good stuff. And check out my crowdfunding, No Safe Spaces. We're doing a doc. And we got Dennis Prager. A lot of wisdom with that dude. NoSafeSpaces.com. You can go there and check out the little snippets of us up on stage, Cal State Northridge. Just go to AmCurl.com, whatever you need, whatever you want. And watch the show and give us a nice rating on iTunes. Watch us climb the charts. So, until next time. Adam Carolla for Dave Schrader, John Taylor, Gina Grad, saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on the Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail if you like. 888-634-1744. Gina Grad is on the radio weekday mornings at 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles, California. And for tickets and info on all the live podcasts, including the Carolla Cruise in November, Mangry events, books, movies, and more, go to adamcarolla.com.